Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network. Check us out, sportsmapradio.com, the Big E Sports Show. And I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. As always, we like to thank the folks that make it happen, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. They will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, let's continue our NFL news and notes. We're going to zero in on a couple more teams with my producer, Jack McCraw. But, you know, Jack, we talked a little bit about this last week on the program, the impact of not having a full training camp, and there weren't any preseason games. What did you see? What did we learn from week one? I mean, do the teams, do they look like they're in prime form, or do we still need to be patient as a fan?
So it looked like the teams with the younger rosters and the younger talents seem to have played better than the teams with more veterans on their staff. And I look at the Arizona Cardinals, for example, where Kyler Murray balled out against the 49ers. Lamar Jackson had an excellent game. Well, it was against the Cleveland Browns, of course, but he still had an excellent game. And look at Patrick Mahomes against the Houston Texans. Those three look like they didn't miss a step and could be three potential MVP candidates. But teams, on the other hand, full of veterans like the Buccaneers, really look like they needed a few more extra practices before they got onto the field.
Okay, so let's talk about Tampa Bay. Okay, so how did Tom Brady fall to Drew Brees' Saints? I mean, Brees outduels Brady. I mean, what say you? Some of those takeaways.
Some of the takeaways I have from that is that it's Brady learning a new system under the Bruce Arians scheme. I think that they will mesh together. He certainly looked a lot better than Phillip Rivers did in Indianapolis with his first game. But I think guys like Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers could have used that extra practice, that they could have been more motivated and could have had more knowledge of the playbook going into those games. But don't sleep on the Buccaneers just yet. It's just one game. I think they'll definitely still make the playoffs.
You know, Jack, were you surprised to see head coach Bruce Arians, the comments that he made? And do you think ultimately that will impact the relationship with his new quarterback and Tom Brady? I mean, come on, let's be real. Coach called him out.
I think that they will resolve this and overcome this.
Okay, much more NFL conversation here in hour two. Up next is the CEO of Block 6 Analytics, and that is Adam Grossman. Come on back. Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour two, Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. As always, don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your vehicle on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It is time to buckle up. We're going to head to Chicago. We're going to check in with the CEO of Block 6 Analytics. Adam Grossman is the leading expert, a leading expert in sports sponsorship and analytics, and one of the best in the field. Adam, good morning. It's nice to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
We've got a lot of ground to cover. I tell you what, 2020, it has been a wild year due to COVID-19, and we are certainly counting down the days to 2021. The good news is that we've got college football back. The NFL got underway last week. Talk to us about what are your thoughts on how the coronavirus, this pandemic, how has this impacted television ratings, and how has this impacted sports marketing? What have we learned?
Yeah, I think we've learned a lot. I mean, obviously, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of, obviously, layers to the question. But I think what we've learned is that, you know, there's definitely a significant interest at all levels in sports. You know, we're coming, we're having this interview, you know, very soon after the Big Ten decided to come back and play games when it originally made a decision not to play football games. And I think it shows just the level of passion and interest. And even at the highest levels, to the point where, you know, President Trump, regardless of what you think about President Trump, I mean, he thought it was a good idea to get involved in the discussion about college sports, particularly in terms of teams of college sports playing, because he thought it was an issue that resonated with a lot of people, whether you consider it his supporters or not his supporters. And he thought it was a very visible issue. And I think it just shows, once again, the impact that sports has, not only on sports fans, but on people, whether it's the United States or globally, the level of impact that it has. I mean, one of the challenges that came up this week is that the NFL ratings overall were down, but I don't think that necessarily connotes the importance of sports, particularly within the current context. You know, sports is still the highest rated programming on television. It's still, you know, it's generated the largest audiences, even as people are at home. And it's still generating that level of interest, engagement, and excitement with fans. And I think fans are, you know, increasingly looking for new content that can, you know, really be interesting and exciting and have all the storylines that sports fans are familiar with. Particularly, you know, we've seen some really exciting games in the NFL playoffs, or NBA playoffs. We've seen some really interesting NHL hockey, particularly in terms of the Dallas Stars and everything that's going on there. You know, all the compelling storylines of baseball. As well, particularly as they look to enter the bubble for the playoffs. So there's just a lot going on. Fans are definitely interested and excited in that content, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out for the rest of the year.
There was conflicting reports. I mean, the NFL, however, put a positive spin on week one and said that it had a top five rated programming from last week. I mean, do you agree or disagree? And what should we make of week one ratings for the NFL?
Yeah, I think it's just hard to do year-over-year comparisons. One is that the ratings have changed. The primary source of ratings comes from Nielsen. Nielsen is now including out-of-home ratings, which it didn't totally do or hasn't done as it is doing now. So the actual rating itself, by accounting for more audiences, is actually closed the gap that was originally discussed. So Nielsen had the original FAST rating. So the way that the process works is that Nielsen puts out a FAST rating, which is an estimate of how many people watched. It, to its credit, said that those ratings would probably be adjusted upwards, which they were. So the actual decrease in viewership is not as great as was originally reported. Even that being the case, is that, you know, there have been overall TV viewership is down across all content in the coronavirus and during the pandemic. And the fact that there are so many sports being played, particularly what would be considered prime sports content, you know, whether that is the NBA or NHL playoffs, or this week with the U.S. Open in golf, and, you know, last week with the U.S. Open in tennis, there is a lot of sports content being played, or a lot of premium sports competitions being played right now. So that also has an impact. Combining that with people maybe not watching television as much, particularly potentially, you know, either live television or television on broadcast and the premium cable networks, combine that with, you know, with the increase in streaming channels and the increase in digital and at-home viewing, I still think it shows that sports is probably the most in-demand content right now, particularly at a point where there isn't going to be a lot of new content from more, you know, if you want to call it movie, television, entertainment, platforms. That's all going to be still on pause or slow to come back. So I think sports is in a good position. It's just, you know, it's not an automatic. I think your point is a good one. It's not an automatic that people are just going to watch sports just because it's on or that it's back. It still has to be compelling, and it still has to be put on the right way, and it still has to be able to, you know, make sure it's engaging with its target audiences and fans.
The CEO of Block 6 Analytics is with us at Sports Map Radio Network this morning, Adam Grossman. And so what are we learning as far as how some of the brands are pivoting and how they are connecting with their fans? What are some ways that they are looking to continue to engage with their base? Because they've certainly had to muscle through a very difficult stretch.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point. And, you know, there are a lot of large companies that are, it was just announced that Anheuser-Busch is potentially paring back its sponsorship portfolio. So in the past, it's worked with 400 what are called properties, which are typically considered leagues, teams, events, and athletes. It's paring that back to about 200 to 300 potential property relationships. But the key thing there is that it's not cutting back its overall spend. It's just cutting back its overall number of partnerships. And I think that's what we're seeing across a lot of different companies is they really want to know what's being effective. You know, this is not dissimilar from what happened in from 2008 to 2010 in terms of the financial and economic crisis, where large companies were really asking, you know, if we're spending, you know, millions or tens of millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars on our relationships, are we really getting the value? And by value is we define that as is, are we really generating, you know, are we generating revenue and profits, and are we able to engage with our customers more directly? One thing that is, and it goes in line with your original question about sports, is that sports is actually a really good way to engage with customers in this environment, because it's one of the few areas where new content and compelling content, both with the audience size and audience quality, is being created right now in the marketplace. What we've also found through our own research is that followers of sports accounts are more likely to be open to hearing about brand messaging about products and about information about the sport itself, and potentially about product offerings or about things related to what companies are selling, particularly to their customers as well. So there's definitely a large concern across all audiences around, particularly around COVID, social justice, and the election. That is a consistent theme across all audiences. But brands that are looking to engage with their customers and finding ways to break through to their customers can leverage sports. And again, whether that's the teams, the leagues, the athletes, the events, or influencers that operate in or around sports, those are all ways that brands are looking to engage with their customers, because sports does provide a way to do that in the current environment.
CEO of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman, with us just about another minute. Are you surprised, though, that, I mean, here we are, we're in this global pandemic. I would have thought that, you know, ratings for sports specifically, they would have been up because more people are staying inside, more people are at home, right?
Yeah, I think it goes to a larger issue that's happening with content more generally, right? There's so many more platforms for content that it's hard for them to be centralized in the way that they typically are. And to be clear, again, sports, particularly the NFL, but even the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, are still aggregating very large audiences in the millions of people. And, you know, the NFL, the largest audiences that have existed on television to date are still with the NFL. And that was consistent both before and after the pandemic started. So I think it's, you know, it's a little bit overblown in terms of how the ratings information, again, because of the way that the ratings have changed, also the way that they're reported, there's also a little bit of a difference between how they're, you know, the reporting is happening, and that's still getting, you know, worked out in terms of how it'll be reported going forward. But I think, again, the diffusion of multiple different platforms and people watching content, whether it's on Netflix, you know, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and when you're talking about sports, there's sports-specific streaming services like DAZN or Flow Sports or even 11 Sports. So there's just so many different contents and platforms. It's hard to say, are people watching less sports, or are they just watching it in more, in different ways? And it looks like it's more of the latter, that people are just watching sports in different ways. And that's similar with entertainment content, is that more people may be consuming content, particularly on streaming platforms, just across different devices and different platforms.
Hey, a great way to kick off hour two. The CEO and founder of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman, is a leading expert in sports sponsorship and analytics. He's also a lecturer for Northwestern University's Masters of Sports Administration. Check him out, Block6Analytics.com. Always a true pleasure, Adam. We look forward to another conversation. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you as well.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back, hour two. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekend. Welcome back to Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. As always, you can connect with us on Twitter at eRadio Sports, podcastarena.com. And today's segment being brought to you by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. You can check them out at O'ReillyAuto.com. NFLsports.com. Okay, week two of the NFL season. Still so many questions abound. Will the Rams, will they bounce back from last season? And what about Tom Brady and his new team with Tampa Bay? And how about the report this week that the Browns are looking to trade Odell Beckham Jr.? Would this be a smart move for the Browns for them to move on from them? But in our next conversation, we're going to focus our attention on my team, and that is the Dallas Cowboys. Ready to open up our conversation with some NFL news and notes. Good to have back with us from DFW Sports Beat, ESPN Radio in Dallas 103.3. That's my good friend, Brady Tinker. Hello, Brady. Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Always love to talk some NFL and get ready for week two. But before we look ahead, let's step back. What were your takeaways from week one? And were those Cowboys, were they robbed?
Well, it's a pretty good acting job by a pretty good player. So I think if it happened on our side of the fence, we'd have been fine with it. Robbed, yes. You put yourself in positions to have things go against you when you don't convert. You know, they should have kicked a field goal to tie the game earlier. The offense was, for the most part, bogged down all day. I thought the use of Zeke Elliott was better, but the passing game, even though C.D. Lamb's there, looked eerily similar. You know, a lot of 12-yard hookups, and everybody's on them. You know, I thought the Rams are, I think, are an underrated team this year because of the changes. Gurley's gone, et cetera, but I think the Rams are a better team than people think. And I was worried about that game. Yes, maybe they were robbed. I always hate as a fan and then as a media person as well who watches these things that you see there's opportunities in a game for your team to take control and they don't do it. And then you leave yourself open for something to happen at the end. You know, a lightning bolt play that the other team does make, or in this case, you know, probably an errant pass interference official call. And it made you wonder also why they took out, you know, the opportunity to look at pass interference, because I saw it happen a couple of times. I know Cincinnati, A.J. Green got called for pushing off in the end zone. It didn't look like much to me either. So I guess they were robbed, but overall, I was disappointed in watching the offense and feeling like this looked exactly like what I watched last year.
We are so glad you're with us. Sports Map Radio Network, DFW Sports Beat, Brady Tinker is with us. And so when we talk about the Cowboys, I mean, do you have any level of concern after watching them in week one?
Yeah, they're in good shape, but I do. I mean, you know, when you and I talked a month or so ago and we sort of looked ahead, you know, I told you that I thought one of the real keys for this team was on the defensive side of the football, that there was a massive letdown last year on the defensive side of the football. So Mike Nolan is in, and I like Mike Nolan. Mm-hmm. I think Mike Nolan is the right guy for this group. And, you know, they've added some playmakers. Alden Smith looks like, you know, that his life is completely together and his mind is back on playing football. And if any of us remember watching Alden Smith, you know, in his early years, he's a dominant football player. And there was a lot of that, you know, that we could see in this Rams game. He drew a lot of double teams. He gave up the edge a couple of times. But overall, you can see that Alden Smith is a bad man. And on the other side of DeMarcus Lawrence, that gives this defense, you know, some stoutness to it. Dontario Poe in the middle is good. Tyrone Crawford's back. I'm happy about all that. But the thing that I mentioned to you a month ago is, how's Leighton Vander Esch? And mm-hmm. I was worried about it because, you know, this is a spinal-related injury that goes back to high school. And the Cowboys knew about this. And Leighton Vander Esch's first year in the league, he was a difference maker. I mean, the entire defense flowed through him. Everyone was better because he was on the field. And so everything that we heard in brief training camp was that he was pretty good. And what did it take? A quarter of football, and Leighton Vander Esch is on the sideline, and they're testing his neck and whatever else, because that's what it always is. Well, unfortunately, it's a collarbone break. But I'm worried that all those things are related, and I'm worried that Leighton Vander Esch won't play anymore this year. That's not an injury there. You know, he's having surgery on a collarbone. That's something we're familiar with around here because Romo had three of them. And, you know, Romo's a quarterback avoiding people. Leighton Vander Esch is sticking his head and, you know, his collarbone and his shoulder and his neck into people on every single play. And so I am very afraid that this defense is compromised at one of the most important positions on the field, and that's linebacker, because Jalen Smith still has deficiencies with the injury that he came into the league with. He just does. And now Sean Lee looks like he's two or three more weeks away, so he's not coming to save the day. So I'm worried about the defensive side of the football. The offense has too much talent. They'll have to figure out how to get the ball out more quickly because the offensive line isn't as good right now as it had been. but they've obviously changed the way they're using Zeke a little bit. More swing passes to Zeke with his head up down the field. I love that. You know, he needs to be more of a focal point of this offense. And when you think about the three receivers, you may think I'm wrong, but you know, the genius of this Rams team for the last two or three years offensively was how they used Todd Gurley and then all of those wide receivers. And so that will happen, I think, here.
DFW Sports Beat, ESPN Radio out of Dallas. Brady Tinker with us at Sports Map Radio Network this morning. Okay, so we've talked about things defensively, but there's been a lot of chatter about the Cowboys' offense, that it's too simplistic. What do you think about the offensive game plan?
Yeah, that was what I was surprised about. You know, at the beginning of the year last year, right, they let Kellen Moore start to run the offense. And in the first three or four games, you saw a lot of sort of Kansas City Chiefs, you know, different things, you know, jet sweep fakes. And, you know, the offense is going one way and the play is going the other. And it was like, yes, this is what we need. And this is what we need for this quarterback. And then towards the mid end of the season, I think Jason Garrett grabbed the reins and said, if I'm going down, we're going down running, you know, this offense like I've run it for the 15 years that I've been here, and it didn't work, and the players didn't like it, and the season ended poorly. It unfortunately looked offensively more like that than I thought it would. And Mike McCarthy, you know, 2 years in a barn, you know, figuring out what he knew and what he didn't know, and he was very happy to have Kellen, right? He was happy to have Kellen Moore back, and these two, you know, these two fertile offensive minds are going to take what is, you know, a stacked roster, you know, and do some things that are different and that are creative. And we've got speed and length and size and, you know, everything. I mean, we did lose our tight end, but we still got, you know, we're loaded. And it looked eerily similar. Too many. If we're third and 10, we're running on a 10.5 yard route and hooking up, and all the corners know it. And so I don't know, you know, I can't tell you the informations that they're seeing from the beginning of a formation, that they got a pretty good idea what's coming. That's what everybody said for the last couple of years about the Garrett offense. But it looked that way. The Rams looked 100% prepared and comfortable when they should have been uncomfortable. Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and C.D. Lamb, and Dak Prescott, and Zeke Elliott should make you damn uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And the Rams did not look uncomfortable. They looked like they had a pretty good idea what was coming. And the throws that were completed were contested through small windows, you know. And then I love Dak Prescott. I really do. But with 6 minutes left to go in that game, it was time to put together a drive. And with 2 minutes left to go in that game, it was time to put together a drive. The drives that you and I know that the top five or six quarterbacks in this league make. They just do it. It's time. The defense is going to be a little soft, keeping things in front of them. And you pick your way down the field and you give yourself an opportunity to tie or win. And he didn't even come close. And it's not all his fault. And, yes, he made a really good throw to Michael Gallup, and that's a bad call. But overall, it just looks to me like Dak still is not as good as he needs to be and as good as this team needs him to be at recognizing defenses, getting in and out of formations, you know, going through progressions. All of us have watched Romo on TV, and I've heard him say now several times, and he's a big Dak fan, I've heard him say several times, listen, he made the right throw there. That's where the read, you know, says you're going to go. The progression says that's where you're going to go. He's like, but he should have known, based on the way the safety was positioned, that wasn't going to work. So in his mind, he should have already been on to his second read or his third read and thinking about a check down to Zeke, right? Because that's what a quarterback who's seeing this picture and knowing pretty much what's going to happen does, and Dak still doesn't do it.
Hey, we are running out of time.
And I'm worried about it.
Yeah. Hey, we are running out of time. DFW Sports Beat, Brady Tinker has been with us. Just give us a quick hit as far as how do you think he will respond in week two against the Falcons when we talk about Dak? What should we look for?
Well, Dak's got the heart of a lion. He's a leader, and they love him in that room. So I imagine that he will respond well, that the Cowboys will score a lot of points in this game. They're a great fantasy team probably most of the year, and somehow they will find a way to score a lot of points. And this will be a high-scoring game. But Dak always responds the correct way. And I hope, because we didn't see it, I hope that we see a little more creativeness, you know, out of this offense. The only thing I can think is, listen, we didn't have much of a training camp, so everything is not in. You know, there's 700 plays, and we only got 120 of them in, so this week we'll have another 80, and we'll be a little more creative, and that will loosen things up. That's what I hope. and they expect.
Hey, we're looking forward to week two. Our special guest from DFW Sports Beat, also ESPN Radio, is Brady Tinker. And Brady, connect with our audience. Where can they find some of your stuff online?
Well, the most fun thing right now is the podcast. It's called A Cowboy Life, and it's there's a website, 3ws.acowboylife.com, or at all podcast platforms, every one of them. And there are stories about cowboys, past, present, cowboys from the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and on up to today. And I'm having a heck of a good time getting these guys to tell me stories about their lives and what it was like being a Dallas Cowboy. And if you would listen and respond to me and tell me what you think, I would appreciate it. Yeah. CowboyLife.com.
Uh-huh. It is a wonderful listen. You've also got some special projects that you're working on right now. We look forward to another conversation. Thank you so much for joining us on this morning. Thank you, Brady.
My pleasure. Talk to you guys soon.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sportsnet national fantasy host Andy McNamara will be up next.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network. You can check us out, sportsmapradio.com. You have dialed into the Big E Sports Show, and I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, always live on Twitter, at E-Radio Sports. We'd love to hear from you. You can join us, info@eradiosports.com, and go back and listen to all of our amazing guests and our interviews at podcastarena.com. Well, it is week 2 of the NFL season, and it's underway, and it's time to get you ready for some fantasy football talk. We are so delighted to open up the mic and welcome in Sportsnet National fantasy host. He is also a sports analyst, our good friend from Canada, and that is Andy McNamara. It's been way too long. How are you, Andy?
I know, Alyssa. So good to chat with you again. And yeah, great to be on with you. Football's back. COVID testing seems to be going well. Knock on every piece of wood you can find, right? But it seems good. So I'm so pumped that the NFL is rolling along.
Absolutely. Well, before we preview this weekend's games, we want to step back just a moment and have you weigh in on what were your week one takeaways?
Well, I had a big focus on what Tom, like lots of people, of course, right? What did Tom Brady look like with the Buccaneers in that prime matchup versus
sure.
the Saints? Like Drew Brees,
uh-huh.
oh man, like we get that twice a year. Thank you.
Yes.
I want more. I thought when we saw Tom Brady, it wasn't a disaster, of course, but it looked like somebody who was in a new situation. And we're not used to that with Tom Brady doing the exact same thing preseason, offseason, during the season, with the New England Patriots. So it was a case where I think maybe a little bit of a reality check that it's going to take some time for that team to get its chemistry together. And in a really tough division, you look at the NFC South and it's like, okay, how much time? The Falcons are for real. I think people are sleeping too much on the Panthers myself, Alyssa. I think they're better than people thought. So the Tom Brady thing. Also, like Jacksonville, who's trying to tank for Trevor Lawrence, they can't even lose properly. They win.
Uh-huh.
That's no good for them. So I think those are probably the two biggest surprises.
Sportsnet National Fantasy host Andy McNamara is with us at Sports Map Radio Network. And so we kick off our conversation talking about Tom Brady, his new destination, his new team. The first game did not go as planned. So we're all about solutions. So what needs mm-hmm. to happen so that they can improve and move forward? They don't want to be 0-2.
No, and I think the situation this weekend, they're hosting the Carolina Panthers, who, like I said, I don't think they're as bad as people thought. They're going to be a tough out. You can't stop Christian McCaffrey if you're the Buccaneers. You can only hope to slow him down or contain him. So it's almost like you have to go around. Think of like Michael Jordan or LeBron James in basketball, right? Like they're going to get theirs, but you have to stop uh-huh. everybody else. So it's kind of like that with Christian McCaffrey. If I'm the Buccaneers and Tom Brady, what I want to see is, okay, Are we on the same page more this week on the routes? We saw a couple of interceptions from Tom Brady. Now, he is a precision passer, so I would say it probably lands a bit more on the receivers to be in the spot. So I'd like to see that improve. Also, Leonard Fournette, if he can get even more involved with that offense another week in, I think you had a real dynamic runner to help push and keep that Panthers defense honest, which can certainly be had. So I think just the precision, and you know Tom Brady more than anybody is going to be working his butt off with those receivers to get everybody on the same page. So I would expect Brady to at least try to make this a bit of a statement game because it's still a division matchup too.
Well, Tom Brady, he knows what it takes. He's won 6 Super Bowls with New England. Yep. The curiosity for me was how long it would take for him to make that transition to a new playbook, a new head coach, a new team. And we can't over forget the big storyline as far as how about his head coach, Bruce Arians? He was a little bit critical of him. I'm like, oops-a-daisy, was he supposed to say that? I mean, what say you? What do you think, Andy?
It's different, right? It's different. This is Brady wanted out of New England, right or wrong, you know, whatever. It was wanted a change. Okay, you got to change, Tommy. It's different, right? So this is, I think, I want to see Tom Brady handling criticism. We know what like a fiery, like nasty competitor is. Like that's why I think for this game we see everything a lot crisper. But if we don't, like this will be also interesting. Let's say they start off a little sloppy. Let's say Brady throws an early interception. He's not afraid to yell at his receivers. Do we start seeing him go after some of these guys, right? Or do we start to see him lean, try to maybe even more on Gronk, just that familiar face, that familiarity? If things go a little bit south, that's the story. I'm not wishing ill on the Buccaneers. It doesn't matter to me. But if that happened, I'd be very interested to sort of watch him and try to track him on the sidelines as he starts spouting off because frustration is going to build quickly. Tom Brady doesn't go 0-2. That's not what he does. So I think it's going to get out of hand a little bit quick from his end emotionally.
Well, you are the ultimate prognosticator, Andy McNamara, Sportsnet national fantasy host. I thought you were going to come on and say that Tom Brady, he's going to take the Bucs to the promised land.
You know what? I don't think so. I think they're going to be good enough to at least make the playoffs. Like I think we have to just give Tom Brady that certain benefit of the doubt. And he's not going to a scrub team. He's got a lot of pieces around him. So it might be a case where we see them go on a really good run game 6 onward or something, right? But some early struggles, like this isn't going to be a team that I think that's going to win their division, right? Like people are like, oh, Brady's going to take him to the Super. How about Drew Brees? That's pretty good. Right? And they're in the same system. And listen, this is the thing that we have to watch across the whole NFL coming into last week and this week. Teams with new coaches, new situations, new players of significance coming in, you don't have that familiarity in a shortened offseason that was a lot of it virtual because of COVID. New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees and Sean Payton, they've been doing the same thing for a decade plus. They just roll out of bed and go. It doesn't matter. Right? So that's why Atlanta Falcons too. So those two teams, I don't think we can sleep on and just hand the division to Tom Brady. I don't think it's going to happen.
Hey, we're so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network. Connect with us, the Big E Sports Show. You can send us an email, info@eradiosports.com. Always live on Twitter, @eradiosports. Let's pause and have you connect with our audience, Andy. Where can they find you online and find out more about Sportsnet?
Absolutely. So for any fantasy football questions, NFL talk, whatever, you can get me on Twitter @AndyMC81, on Instagram @AndyMCSports. We have a live Sunday morning Sportsnet YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitch shows. You can get that anywhere around the world from 11 a.m. Eastern till noon, where we just take your fantasy questions. We'll give you our start sits and all that. Like, Alyssa, on the kickoff last week, I had my whole nice little set start. Wait, I didn't even get to it.
Wow.
Because we just took straight questions. So anytime, if you're hitting me up on Twitter or social media, just use the #AskAndy because that's what I search for because we get a lot, you know, get a lot of mentions and questions. So I don't lose track because I try to answer every single one. So #AskAndy @AndyMCD1 on Twitter, and we'll get you ready for week 2, man.
Okay, well, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you which player performed best for fantasy enthusiasts. We got to take a deep dive into that. But a moment ago, you were talking about, you know, Tom Brady playing for a new head coach. What about Dak? This is his first year under Mike McCarthy, 17-20 loss against the Rams. What did you see?
I was a little bit disappointed, to be honest, with Mike McCarthy and the offense that was sort of promised. You know, like it was a bit of a mystery because he took the year off from Green Bay. And when he was doing his sales tour pitch around, it was, I got this new offense. We study analytics. And it was kind of a little bit of a mystery. Like, just wait, analytics, that'll do it. And it was like, okay, you know, you got a lot of weapons. There were some decisions of like, you know, I didn't love it. But I think it could still be a case where it's just like we talked about, the new head coach with a new offense coming in a shortened preseason. So it's going to take a little bit of time. Ultimately, the Cowboys are just too talented on offense. Like, come on, man. Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Zeke Elliott.
with that Feed Me tattoo on his stomach. Come on. I love it. Like, there's so much there. Now, you lose Blake Jarwin for the year, which is disappointing from a fantasy side of things, because he was deemed by myself as well as a possible real riser. So he's gone. But there's still so much talent. And if you let's just look at the division. The Eagles are so banged up. The Giants are not there. Washington is not there. Cowboys are winning the NFC East, barring some disastrous injury. So they're going to figure it out. And I think Dak is going to be just fine. He's so good. Like, I think fantasy-wise, Dak Prescott was the second best fantasy quarterback last year. And you could have got him in the eighth or ninth round of your fantasy draft, not spend all up and miss out on great players by taking Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. Second best fantasy player. So I think Dak's going to be great again.
So, Andy, you bring up a great point. I mean, what do you think is missing in the Cowboys offense? What I hear you saying is that it's too vanilla, it's too simplistic. I mean, who should the offense focus more on?
Yeah, and you know what? I really believe that was a case of it being week one and Mike McCarthy trying to keep things maybe a little more simple. At least I hope so. I hope that's not the whole creative offense that he was talking up all offseason. I don't think it is. But with that the pandemic shortened stuff, with the virtual, it's just different, right? So I think what I want to see this week from the Cowboys is I want to see more of the offense implemented. I want to see more creativity from this team and see what they can do against the Atlanta Falcons, because this has a fun shootout written all over. Dallas is favored by 4, over-under set at 52.5. I hope that this one gets just into a back-and-forth offensive slugfest, and the Cowboys are forced to open things up, because the possibilities are endless. You could put Cooper outside. You can put CeeDee Lamb inside. You could also pop him outside. You can mix and match with Michael Gallup. We know what Zeke can do. He can catch. He can run. He can do it all. Prescott's mobile as well. He's usually good for a couple rushing touchdowns in himself. There are just so many pieces here that I hope that we just see a fun back and forth on Sunday at 1 Eastern. I hope it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. These boys can light it up and can turn into an offensive juggernaut. Hey, we're talking week 2 NFL big matchup, Patriots at the Seahawks on NBC, a 7:20 kickoff. How do you see this particular game, Andy, playing out?
Again, this is one I'm really looking forward to, because we're seeing Russell Wilson, who I talked about underrated fantasy quarterbacks, like with Dak Prescott finishing second last year. Russell Wilson's been a top 4 fantasy QB 4 out of the last 6 years. And he just keeps doing it at such a high level. It's one of those things, he's been so good for so long, you almost forget about him. And Bill Belichick on Thursday made a comment in his press conference similar to that, saying, I think he's one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league because he's so good.
Yeah.
He can make anything happen. So what are we going to see part 2 out of Cam Newton coming out here? Because he wasn't afraid to be mobile.
he sure wasn't. Yeah.
He wasn't afraid. And yeah. Here's the thing. You have Cam Newton run the ball 15 times, 75 yards. All right. And I get maybe the Patriots aren't worried long term if he gets hurt. Oh, well, you know, it's not. But Cam Newton, with the injuries he's maintained, if they run him and get reckless with him for that type of usage consistently, end of October, that dude's going to be out. He's going to be injured. He just can't take that type of punishment. So I want to see Cam Newton, the passer, who is very efficient, 15 of 19, 155. That was against Miami. So how does he go? Like, what happens if Russell Wilson starts lighting up Ty Lockett, my guy DK Metcalf, who I absolutely adore. This guy has endless potential. The running backs, Chris Carson. What if the score starts getting up and Cam Newton has to throw? That's what I want to see and look at how that offense for New England gets dialed up when Cam, you know, running isn't going to be the option. How does that shoulder look and how does that shoulder hold up in what might be a shootout here?
Our NFL news and notes continues in hour 2 with Andy McNamara, Sportsnet national fantasy host, after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Welcome back, Sports Map Radio Network, Hour 2. Right now, let's rejoin Andy McNamara, Sportsnet national fantasy host, and continue our conversation. So let's talk some fantasy. Which players performed the best for all of us fantasy enthusiasts?
Boy, so when you look at, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, Alyssa. Okay,
and I know.
That was not the way I wanted the season to begin, but it wasn't totally surprising. Lamar Jackson, reigning MVP, put up 27.5 fantasy points. And I'm going to use the PPR format here, folks. So for standard, you make certain adjustments. But let's go. PPR is very standard. That's when you're doing, if you're going into DraftKings contests and stuff like that, it's the PPR format. So that's going to be probably the most relevant for people outside of season leagues playing some DraftKings. So people are aware. You look at Lamar Jackson, what he did. You also want to see somebody like a Josh Allen, who, again, I don't think gets enough respect fantasy-wise what he can do. Alyssa, 33, almost 34 fantasy points against the Jets. You get Miami this week? Let's go. Light yourself up to Josh Allen. Like, I'm looking here. Josh Allen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, fifth most expensive fantasy quarterback on DraftKings at $6,700. So you can see that's still a bargain type of price. Matt Ryan loved seeing what he could do bounce back. He was a QB2 in fantasy 2 years ago and a bit of a down year last year. When we look for guys, this is also something that I look at when we do the fantasy show on Sportsnet and all that, is who might be a little deceiving coming out of week one. Cause I hate chasing, and you can go, I feel like Robbie Anderson is just like that hot person in high school that you keep chasing and you never get there. It's just out of your reach. And that's what I feel Robbie Anderson is with the Jets the whole time. Robbie Anderson put up a remarkable first week to almost 30 fantasy points. But now you have to look at, and this is what I tell people as well, listen, look at who runs the offense, okay? Opportunities equal success. I'm not great at math, but that's the only formula I can use. Opportunities equal success. And who's going to get the most touches? So for that Carolina offense, it's all Christian McCaffrey. He's the engine. He's getting it, and it's everybody else. Then it's DJ Moore. Robbie Anderson had like a 75-yard touchdown.
Hey, love is passion, love is enthusiasm. We've been going one-on-one with Andy McNamara, Sportsnet national fantasy host and sports analyst. Always a true pleasure to have you with us at SportsMap Radio Network. We look forward to another conversation. Not too long, okay?
Oh, Alyssa, anytime. Love chatting with you. Thank you so much.
That, of course, was Andy McNamara from Sportsnet. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests and our lineup. All of you enjoy the 120th U.S. Open. The coverage will continue here next weekend as we'll do a full recap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.